ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 47 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31 आत्मा ज्ञानमयः शुद्धः व्यतिरिक्तः अगुणान्वयः सुषुप्ति स्वप्न जाग्रद्भिः माया वृत्तिभिः दीयते आत्मज्ञानमयशुद्धो व्यतिरिक्तो गुणान्वयः सुषुप्ति स्वप्न जाग्रद्भिः माया वृत्तिभिर्यते आत्मज्ञानमयशुद्धो व्यतिरिक्तो गुणान्वयः सुषुप्ति स्वप्न जाग्रद्भिः माया वृत्तिभिर्यते आत्मज्ञानमयशुद्धो व्यतिरिक्तो गुणान्वयः सुषुप्ति स्वप्न जाग्रद्भिः माया वृत्तिभिर्यते
of
the material energy, vrittivi, by the functions, yate, is perceived. Translation. Being composed of pure consciousness or knowledge, the soul is distinct from everything material and is uninvolved in the entanglements of modes of nature. We can perceive the soul through the three functions of material nature known as wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. Please repeat. Being composed of pure consciousness or knowledge,
the soul
is distinct from everything material and is uninvolved in the entanglements of the modes of material nature. We can perceive the soul through the functions. Through the three functions of material nature, known as wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the soul, Atma, is constituted of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and is thus ontologically distinct from the material nature. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Atma may also be taken to mean the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna. Since the Lord has just explained in the previous verses that all material phenomena are expansions of Himself, the phrase maya vrittibhiyate indicates that by studying this world deeply, we will come to the perception of God. From this point of view also, the gopis were advised not to lament. Om jnana timanantasya jnanam jana shalakaya Chakshurun Yinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahaganadagunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagunalalita Shri Vishakhandatamishcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tatya Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Pancha Kalpatarumhyascha Pripasam Kubya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanekyo Vaishnavekyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Atma Jnanamaya Shuddho Yatirtho Vanandaya Sushupti Swapna Jagra Dhiram Maya Vrittibhir Yate. Being composed of pure consciousness or knowledge, the soul is distinct from everything material and is uninvolved in the entanglements of the modes of nature. We can perceive the soul through the three functions of material nature, known as wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. I can't assert that I actually understand anything that Krishna's trying to tell the gopis here on the higher level that we've heard about already. But we can say a few words about what he's saying at the moment. This is discussed in the Upanishads. I think it's in Aitreya Upanishad, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it's Mandukya Upanishad. It talks about different avasthas. Avastha. Avastha means your situation. And in the material world, the soul, or the self, Atma, is entangled deeply in misidentification with matter. And the soul undergoes the experience of wakefulness, dreaming, deep sleep. The soul is actually beyond these things. There are four avasthas. There's sushupti, swapna, jagriti, and turiya. Turiya means to be beyond all three of them. So Krishna has already been, he's been describing already that although he's beyond all of these things, he acts as if he is a product of material nature. He told us yesterday, he creates, he maintains, and he destroys himself. And he does so through his personal potency, which consists of the material elements, the senses, and the gunas. And yet we hear today that he's beyond the gunas. There are different ways to understand this verse, we mentioned already. Vallabhacharya has commented here that the Supreme Lord has been discussing himself up until this point. Now he begins to discuss the nature of the soul. First of all, this term soul, it's a translation that's meant for convenience only. It can't be accurate because according to the technical definition of the soul has a beginning but no end, whereas the Atma has neither end nor beginning. So we should be aware of that at least. And then the next thing is that, well, Sridhar Swami points out, Atma tu shuddha. The self is pure. What does that purity mean? Agunam bhayaha. Nagunesham deviti tatha. He is constituted in such a way that he's never infected by the three modes of material nature. He's not wrapped up or involved, as the translation says here, in the three modes of material nature. Therefore, he is vyatirikta. He is apart, separate. He's different from this material nature. And then he explains why that is so, or how is it that he's separate and apart and pure. Jnana. Because he's full of jnana. What does jnana mean?
Knowledge.
Anything else?
Spiritual
knowledge. Anything else?
Realized knowledge.
Anything else? Actually, we translate it as knowledge, but my Sanskrit professor at the University of Washington, Dr. Karl Potter, he's a very famous scholar. He's expert in Nyaya philosophy. And he points out that actually the word jnana means awareness. Awareness is a little different than knowledge, to be aware of something. But what does Krishna say about the symptom, the primary symptom of, or one of the primary symptoms of sattva-guna in Bhagavad Gita, later chapters? With regards to the nine gates of the body. What are the nine gates of the body? Two eyes, two ears, nose, mouth, genital, rectum. These are considered the nine gates by which things come in and go out. Yes, He says, when every gate of the body is illumined by knowledge. Those who practice yoga, they know that the yogis, they concentrate very carefully on every small aspect, every subtle aspect of their physical functioning. Because awareness is the beginning. If you're oblivious, then you cannot, and Tamal Krishna Goswami used to say, before you can become Krishna conscious, you have to become conscious. So that's called sattva guna. So awareness, jnanamaya, and he's made out of that. Jnanamaya, maya means to be made out of something. Or as Sridhar Swami glosses the term, jnanayo, jnana sarupa, his very essence, his very identity is itself jnana, awareness, his pure awareness. Jiva Goswami likewise says, jnanamayaha, sarvajnatvat, because he is omniscient, therefore he's jnanamaya. Whatever jnana there is, it's in him. So awareness, he's pure awareness. In other words, we say, satchit ananda vigraha, his form is eternity, knowledge or awareness, cognizance, and bliss. Now the bliss part is the important thing in this context, because it's only for bliss that Krishna enacts all of his pastimes as if a product of material nature. And the gopis, they're reciprocating with Krishna's bliss, they're supplying bliss to him. And Krishna's playing tricks with them, because here he's trying to obscure this bliss aspect with the illumination of knowledge, jnana. So it's almost a tongue-in-cheek. All the things that Krishna is saying, it's like sometimes we find in the Bhagavatam elsewhere, for example, Kamsa. Kamsa is earlier in the 10th canto. We find that on the occasion of attempting to kill his sister, Kamsa is justifying this with reference to the same kind of knowledge that Krishna is speaking about now. So Krishna's purpose is similarly the deceptive. He's actually trying to justify to the gopis that he's away in Mathura or he's away in Dwarka. And the gopis are not fully satisfied with it, but you can't really argue with what Krishna is saying at the same time. Because, after all, Krishna is all-pervading. This is a point brought out by Sanatana Goswami in his commentary. By his inconceivable potencies, Krishna exists as the upadan. We discussed this the other day. Upadan, anybody remember what it means? Upadan? The material cause of a thing. Just like they say in India, if there's no bansuri, there's no bansuri. The flute is made out of bamboo. So if you don't have bamboo, you can't have a bamboo flute. So, in the same way, the standard example of upadana is given. We all wear cloth, and this cloth consists of threads that are woven lengthwise, breadthwise. So the cloth is, the thread itself is the material cause, or the upadana of the cloth. If there's no thread, you cannot have cloth. Similarly, if there's no Krishna, you cannot have anything else. Krishna is the source of everything. So, in this way, there's no question of separation, and Krishna's invoking this argument to justify the fact that he's enjoying in Dwarka with so many queens. So in this way, Krishna's nature is revealed implicitly for those who have the eyes to see it. Those eyes come through experience only, and it's, as I said, above most of us, actually. But anyway, there are some points that we can consider here. So, first of all, let's see what he's saying. He's saying that we can perceive the soul through the three functions of material nature known as wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. Each of these avasthas, or conditions, has its particular characteristics. When we're in wakefulness, we have full cognizance, that is to say, full knowledge. Wakefulness is, you might say, a more sattvic condition. We are aware of everything. We know what our senses are doing. We know what our senses aren't able to do also. We're conscious. We're cognizant. We have knowledge. And we're alert, and we can manipulate material nature in a certain way that is conditioned by that state. The way that you can manipulate material nature when you're awake is different than the way that you manipulate material nature when you're asleep. What's the next avastha? Swapna. Swapna means what? It's light sleep, dream state. Sometimes we experience this, actually, that when we're falling asleep, we just begin to dream something, and then maybe you wake up and you realize that what you were dreaming. Or sometimes it's said that great artists, they have, everything is very clear in a certain way in this swapna state, but it cannot be communicated from the swapna state to the jagata state. But it's very, very profound and clear, the insights and the realizations that we have in that swapna state, dreaming state. Sometimes artists, they get their greatest inspiration at that time. Musicians, also scientists, also, they get very deep insights. Why? Because it is not conditioned by the external features, such as our senses, or even the limitations of our karma. Anyone ever have any dream that you're flying? Raise your hand if you sometimes dream that you're flying. People have these dreams, very common. Why is that? Because we're not conditioned by the limitations of the physical body. The subtle body is free to move in any way that it desires according to its vasanas, its karma samskaras. All the impressions of present and past experiences are there. All the desires are also there. We want to act in a certain way, but we cannot fulfill those desires when we're awake. We're freed from the fetters of limitation in our dream state. That's why we can fly anywhere we want to go. We can have anything we want to have. But it's not satisfactory to us because it's not very intense. This is why it's frustrating to be a ghost, for example. The ghosts, they also have so many desires, but they have no physical body with which to fulfill those desires. What does it mean to fulfill a desire? When we are in the jagrata state, we have full consciousness, and that because our consciousness is focused on the sensory experience, because we're absorbed in our senses, therefore the experience of the senses is vicariously enjoyed by the soul in a very intense way, and that's what we seek. Why do we seek that? Out of envy, actually. Because we want to enjoy on our own terms and we don't want to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, this material nature is awarded to us such that we can try and exploit its resources. And in the jagrata state, the satisfaction is very intense. The sense gratification is a very direct and powerful experience, but it's limited by karma. And in the swapna state, we're not limited by karma. We can do anything, enjoy anything in any degree, but it's not very intense. So it's not satisfying enough. Then we have a third avastha. What is that? Sushupti. What does sushupti mean? Dreamless sleep, very deep, deep sleep. Dormir, completely dormant. So this is actually a very valuable thing if you can get deep sleep. According to Ayurvedic principles, deep sleep is thoroughly rejuvenating. It allows the soma that is absorbed. Soma means lunar energy. The solar energy that is pervading this material world, it's very intense, but it's almost too intense. Sri Sri Radhani Lamadava Pijay. Just like we can, very gross example, for white-skinned people, when we go out into the sun, we get sunburned. Sunburned. Why did this? Did anybody ever get moonburned? There's no such thing as a moonburn, because the lunar energy is much more nourishing and maternal and soft. So lunar energy that is dissipated throughout the material atmosphere, when we absorb that, it's called soma. Soma means the moon. It's also the name for Lord Shiva, by the way. Somanath, Somadeva. Lunar energy is actually very healing, and that lunar energy, as it were, lubricates all the nadis of the body in such a way that prana can flow very nicely. And sleep is what does this. When we get deep sleep, this is what it does. That's why we wake up rejuvenated after sleeping, because these are the properties of the material nature and prana and how they interact. Just like Krishna says, Gam avishya cha bhutani dharyani aham ojasa. What does ojas mean? Ojas is that property that allows the prana to slide, so to speak, through various channels throughout the body. Ojas, very, very valuable. And for men also, this ojas is created mainly through the retention of semen. This is why brahmacharya is so much touted. So this is ojas. Dharyami aham ojasa. I sustain, he says, this whole world through ojas. And what else does he say? Dharyami aham ojasa. Pushnami chaushadhihi sarvaha. All the medicines. This is Ayurveda. This is not allopathy. Doctors, you have to forgive me. Anybody here is a doctor. It's not really medicine. It's ignorance, actually. And very often injurious. Actually, it's been my observation. I can't say it's been my personal experience, but it's been my observation for sure, because I spent so much time in hospitals, that if a thoroughly healthy person goes into the hospital to stay for some time, he will certainly be traumatized by that experience. What to speak of if you're sick? And it's like Indrajuna Maharaj. He went into the hospital and he ended up getting some septic fever. Many, many times we find that's called malpractice. But even without malpractice, hospitalization is very traumatizing experience. And much of the allopathic medicines, they don't really work. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent there. But the point is, pushnami, Krishna says, I nourish through ojas all the vegetables and plants as well. Oshadhi. Oshadhi comes from these things. Somo bhutvara sattvaha. Because I've become soma. And that soma is full of rasa. And that rasa is what we require. It's not enough just to have teja. We also have to have the rasa. This is sushupti, deep sleep. Very, very beneficial. And sometimes some scholars consider sushupti to be a liberated state, believe it or not. If you need to take more rest, you can justify it in this way. that's why we are rejuvenated, because it is completely dormant. You're not working on the gross material body is not working, and even at that point the subtle material body is also not working. It's dormant. Only the soul is working, and the soul is completely resting. So then we have Turiya, of course, is beyond this. This is the fourth of his talk. We find throughout the Vedas, we find a certain pattern is there of four things that are actually three things plus one thing. For example, we have, as we've been mentioning, we have here three things are only mentioned: sushupti, swapna, and jagrat. But then there's a fourth one, turiya, which is transcendental. Similarly, we have the brahmacharis, the grihastas, the vanaprastas, And then we have the sannyasis, who are considered to be beyond the system. In this way, 3 plus 1 is a very common numerical paradigm we find throughout the Vedic literatures. But anyway, these are the avasthas. Now Krishna is saying, maya vritti bhir iyate. This is perhaps the most significant thing of this verse, as the purport points out. Since the Lord has just explained in the previous verses that all material phenomena are expansions of himself, the phrase maya vritti bhir iyate indicates that by studying this world deeply, we will come to the perception of God. So we mentioned this yesterday, that the workings of maya, that's what maya vritti means, they're identical. Whether it's yoga maya or mahamaya, it doesn't really make that much difference. And therefore, by studying this world, we can understand something of the spiritual world. But there is a fundamental difference, and that is that in this world, virtually all of the residents have this illusion of being the supreme controller, which they are not. And that makes all the difference in the world. It ruins everything. And that's why we suffer here. That's the only reason why we suffer. In the spiritual world, we've also mentioned this, everyone also has the idea that, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because they don't have the misconception that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore everything goes on very nicely. Because actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only for the purpose of lila, sport, does Krishna obscure that understanding in those devotees who have surrendered to him the most. The more we surrender to Krishna, the more we become imbued with transcendental love of Godhead that is heavily conditioned by yoga maya. So we can say, quite rightly, we can say that in this material world, everyone is thoroughly covered by maya, and in the spiritual world, everyone is thoroughly covered by maya. But they're different mayas. Not different mayas even. They're the same maya, but she works in different capacities according to our approach. Just like we worship, not here, but in most ISKCON temples we're worshiping, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. And Subhadra Devi, she embodies the Lord's own potency. If we approach her, what is her Mula Mantra? Any Pujaris here? Subhadra Devi's Mula Mantra? We don't have Jagannath here, so maybe nobody knows. Om Hrim Bhuvaneshwari Yai Namaha. Who's Bhuvaneshwari?
Here.
Huh? Controller of this world. Who, you know, what Devi controls this world? Well, put it this way, who's Bhuvaneshwar? Anyone ever been to Orissa? It's called Bhuvaneshwar? Lingaraj. Who is that?
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. Therefore, Bhuvaneshwara, Bhuvaneshwari. Just like we have Yama, Yami. Yamaraj and Yamuna, they're brother and sister. So she's the feminine. She's the wife of Lord Shiva. If we approach her for material things, if our attitude is one of exploitation, then she will reciprocate with us as Durga. But if we approach with the idea of serving her two brothers who are on either side of her, then she does not act as Durga anymore. She acts instead as Yoga Maya, internal potency. She's both Vishnu Shakti, Vishnu Maya Bhagavati. Therefore, she's sometimes called Ekanansha in other shastras. Okay, but anyway, this is the point. Maya vritti bhir iyate. We can understand how Krishna works and how the spiritual world works to some degree, by studying this world very deeply. But it has to be deep, and it has to be devotional as well. And then we can come to the perception of God, as Krishna's been arguing all along. Because he's the upadan, he's the material cause of all things, therefore there's no denying that he's present, always. And he's certainly in their minds and their physical bodies and their senses, and even the those modes that are, that compel the gopis to act, they're all Krishna. They're all transcendental. And Krishna is infusing them in this way. So he's appealing to this gyan. In other words, what is Krishna really doing here? He's trying to obscure the yoga maya shakti. That's what he's doing. On the basis of transcendental knowledge. That's what he's saying. So in this way, Krishna's not exactly cheating them. You can't accuse him of cheating. Krishna's never actually cheating. This is another point. The Vaishnava Acharyas, they take great pains, especially Vallabha Acharya. They take great pains to justify Krishna's rascal behavior. For example, we all know he's Navanita Chora. What does Navanita Chora? Navanita Taskara, Bhakti Nirodha Thakur says. What does it mean? He steals butter. Payasu Chaura, Paradara Chaura, Stri Vastra Chaura, Sura Vriksha Chaura, Sangsara Chaura, Sakaladhi Chaura, Shriyatate Twam Navanita Chaura. Though Mangala Thakur says, my dear Lord, O Lord of Sri Navanita Chaura, you not only steal nice milk products, but you steal women's clothing, you steal other people's wives, you steal trees from demigods, you steal away material existence, you steal away everything. This is you. So this is his ecstasy. You can argue, and Krishna does argue, that everything belongs to him, therefore it's not really theft. Whenever he's caught in a gopi's house, she says, you're stealing. He says, no, I'm not stealing. This is my house. Your husband is stealing from me. He actually says these things. It's recorded in the Ananda Vrindavana Champu, I think it is, and other places. Or Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami describes, when Mother Yashoda caught Krishna outside, sitting on top of the Ulukala at Gokula, feeding valuable butter to the monkeys, she said, who stole this? Well, where did you get this butter? She asked him, how did this pot get broken, Krishna? She found him in the storm with the broken pot. She said, how did this pot get broken? What is Krishna saying? Anybody know? Krishna said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead broke it. And he's not incorrect about that. There's a true answer. But it completely ignores the fact that they are so absorbed in yoga maya that they can't accept that answer. They think that he did it. Yes, Lakshminarayan Tohe, they say. They're all worshipping Lakshminarayan. In their mind, Lakshminarayan, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is a fact also. But they don't consider Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, they facilitate the intimate relationship that they enjoy with him eternally. This is yoga maya. And that yoga maya, Krishna is trying to appeal to the gopis. He's trying to appeal to these kind of arguments. The gopis can hardly be fully satisfied by that, but as I said, nobody can deny it either. So, in this way, the gopis were advised not to lament. So, what else do we have? Atma jnana maya shuddho vyatirikto gananvayaha sushupti swapna jagradhir maya vrittibhir iyate. We can understand so much by looking at the workings of maya. So vritti, this is a very interesting word also, maya vritti. Vritti means the functions or the actions or the way that things work, the workings, we can say. Just like chitta vritti. What is that? Patanjali says, yoga chitta vritti nirodhaha. Yoga means to stop the rambling of the mind. You can say in this sense, vritti means the mental chatter, you might say. Our minds are constantly monkey minds. Our minds are like monkeys. This doesn't make sense. unless you live in Vrindavan. Unless you have had ample experience of monkeys, it's very hard to understand. Just the profundity of their rascaldom is not easily imaginable for anyone who has not lived there for some time. But they're very clever, and they're very cheeky little rascals, and they have an attitude, and they're very smart, and they're very strong, and they're very agile. And in this way, they're just like the mind. The mind is always doing something nefarious. And the mind never stops, and it's very quick, and it's constantly alert. Would that our intelligence would be so alert as our minds are in this material world. Then we would make advancement. Anyway, so the mind is compared to a monkey, and its functions or its mental chatter, mental wanderings is called chitta vritti. So Bill Mangala Thakur has written a nice verse about this. He says, Vikretu kama kila gopakanya murari padarpita chitta vritti. Dadhyadikash. What is that? Dadhyadikam? What is the third one? Mohavashada gocha govinda damodara madhaveti. These gopis, this is the point that Krishna is ignoring. These gopis, they have naturally fixed their minds on Krishna to such a degree that the mental rambling that we all have to battle, they don't have to battle. That is their greatest friend, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Bandhuratmatmanastasya tyadi. Why? Because murari pada arpita chitta vritti. Their mental functions, their thoughts, their default mode of mental existence is that they're always thinking of the lotus feet of whom? The enemy of Mura, Murari, Sri Krishna. And the dhyadika mohavashada vocha, because their minds are so fixed on Krishna, even though one gopi came with a desire to sell her dairy products, because her mind was so naturally fixed on, when they space out, they think about Krishna. This is the point. When we space out, we think about sense gratification because we're heavily conditioned in that mode. But when the gopis are spacing out, their spacing out is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. In other words, this is why we call them ragatmika devotees. They're not trying to cultivate raganuga bhakti. They are the exemplars of raganuga bhakti, ragatmika bhaktas. They're eternally and fully Krishna conscious with no possibility of anything else. This is the point we should know. So, vikretu kama kila gopakanya, one cowherd daughter wanted to go and sell her dairy products. But because her mind was so thoroughly fixed on Krishna, thoroughly, naturally, and spontaneously fixed on Krishna, therefore, instead of calling out, dahi, dahi, as they do, she said, Govinda Damodara Madhava. This is her default mode of existence. So, this is called Yoga Maya Vritti Iyate. If we study these gopis, then the workings of their minds can also be very clear. All right, so these are a few things we can say. Shri Shri Radha Nila Madhava T.J. Tomorrow we will continue a little bit more on this point about our dream world. We're all living in a dream world right now. The real world is something else. But I'm going to stop here. If anybody has any questions or any comments about any of this, then we can... When does the soul interact with the super soul? Well, that's only in the material world, of course, because there's no need of super soul in the world where you are your body. In the world where we're not our bodies, but think that we are the bodies, then super soul has to guide us. Just like when children don't know how to ride their tricycles or their bicycles, the parents have to walk along with them just to make sure that they're okay. So this is Paramatma. That is his friendship.
Samadhi or deep sleep or any state
samadhi, the meaning of samadhi is that we fix our mind on the super soul, in the yoga school at least, that's the whole point. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena. Dhyana avasthita. Avasthita means to be situated in one of these avasthas. So dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogina. The yogi gauti him. The yogi's whole program is to see him in all these stages of consciousness. But they cannot go beyond that. This is the problem. They can only commune, so to speak, with Paramatma, but they cannot have any kind of active relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So Paramatma is kind of like the subtlety of our dream experience is not fully satisfying to our senses. So in the same way that the limited interaction of Paramatma doesn't fully satisfy our actual innate desires to have a loving reciprocal relationship, for that we need Bhagavan, which is like full play of the senses and the mind and the intelligence, everything, our emotions, all of them. Everything is given full play only when Bhagavan comes into the picture. That's why we're bhakti yogis. Is that okay? Anything else? Yeah. What is your name?
Shweta
Deepa. Okay.
In the beginning of the class, we discussed that soul is completely pure, Sachit Ananda. It's sometimes compared to pure rainwater. Mm-hmm. And as the rainwater comes and mixes with air, it gets polluted. So,
how is the soul pure if it gets polluted?
Yes, how does.
Yeah. Every analogy has its limitation. And that is the limitation of this one. We say that the rainwater becomes polluted or mixed, and we also say that the consciousness becomes polluted or mixed, Prabhupada says perverted. But the fact is that the soul is always pure. This is illustrated in these purports. Soul is always detached from the modes of material nature, but because we, out of our own volition, identify with those modes, just like we identify with our senses, therefore we suffer. Look at it this way. Ahamkara, Prahladananda Swami says. I am the car. Ahamkara. So, false ego. If you have, let's say you have a Lamborghini car, or some, you know, very expensive, you know, top-of-the-line car, you'll always be a little bit worried about it. And certainly if somebody comes along on a bicycle with a key and scratches up the paint job, that's going to really hurt you. But the only reason it hurts you is because you're very much invested emotionally and identified, you know, with this car. Isn't it? If the car gets in a crash and you have absolutely no care about it's not a big deal. Just like sometimes they have this stock car racing. They take an old beat-up car and they bang it around and they crash into other cars and they don't care. See? This is because of detachment. But, you know, the more that our consciousness is the point here, the more our consciousness is focused on these extrinsic things, then we have to suffer as a result. That's what it means when we say the consciousness is polluted. In fact, the consciousness is never polluted. Consciousness is never polluted. But only because we identify it voluntarily. This is another key issue. That identification is not mandatory. We don't have to identify with the material, but we want to do it. Why do we want the material body? Because it affords us the gross, meaning intense, experience of sense gratification, or the subtler experience of mental gratification. But in either way, we want these things without Krishna. And this is the point. When you turn away from Krishna, bhayam dvitiya bhinaveshita syat ishadapeta ishadapeta syat viparyaya smriti. We become bewildered and we lose our memory because we want to. It's envy. Maya serves an instrumental purpose only. Maya vritti. Here it's used in an instrumental case. Maya is serving an instrumental purpose. That instrumental purpose is to afford you the temporary illusion of separation from Krishna. Vyatirikta. the word is used. Separation. But we're not separate. We're not God, and we can't be separate from Him. That is why Krishna's instructions to the gopis, which for an audience like the gopis, it has to almost certainly be tongue-in-cheek. But for us, it's very relevant because we can actually learn something from these instructions. This is the point. We've mentioned already, this whole passage here is going on in two levels. There's a very deep spiritual meaning, and then there's an external meaning. The external meaning is something that we actually need to hear it because we think that we are these bodies. Is that okay?
But the soul identifying with the matter, you're saying, is the cause. So what is the... So something is polluted with the soul for it to identify with the temporary soul.
Not polluted. This is another argument that we have from time to time. People always saying, well, how come the soul falls into the material world? Or if we're from the Brahmajyoti, or if we're from Goloka Vrindavan, there was one devotee in Vrindavan who was constantly pestering me with this question, which is a moot issue, actually, a moot question. It's not that there is some contamination in the spiritual world that impels us to move into this material world. It doesn't happen like that. The intrinsic function of the soul, we souls, not all souls, but we're called Tatastha Shakti. We're situated on the shore. We can go in the water, we can go on the land. That brings to mind an unrelated joke. When Narendra Modi outlawed cash maybe some 6 months ago, the joke was that he was trying to drain the pond so that he could catch all the big fish who were cheating. But he didn't realize that the big fish were actually alligators. They can go on the land or they can go in the water. And the only people who suffer are the little minnows who their pond is dried up and they die. Anyway, enough frivolity for the moment. But the idea is that we are Tatastha Shakti. We can go in the spiritual realm, we can go in the material realm. That is our constitution. And that the choice is the function of the intrinsic nature of the soul, which is to love. Love has to be voluntary, otherwise it's AI. Are you an IT? Artificial intelligence. Robotics, basically. If we're pre-programmed that we can only love Krishna and not make the choice to leave Him, then what is that love? Not really love. Love means it's voluntary freedom. You see? So this is the intrinsic property of the soul. It's not some external imposition, a task. And the intrinsic property being one of choice means that we always have the option to make the wrong choice. It's like another analogy has been given by Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj. He said, you're not from Bangalore by any chance. Anyone here from Bangalore? Well, Hyderabad will do also. Every 10 feet, there's a Lakshmi wine store in Hyderabad. Or there's another tavern in Bangalore. Every 10 feet, you see Balaji wines. And we come back late at night from programs, and we see there's always a huge line outside of these, so people are into it. They're taking. So if you see this enough, jayato vishayam pungsam sankhaste shupa jayate sangha sanjayate kama. So if you see this enough, then you will get the desire. You don't have to go into the wine store. But somebody, you know, you decide that you're going to go in. And then who can stop you? You see? This is our own choice. Curiosity killed the cat, we say in America. It's a foolish choice. Now here's another interesting thing, since there's a Telugu invasion of North America going on right now. By the grace of
They just left
town. Just call Visa Balaji bolte hain? Visa Balaji. He gives out visas, Balaji. one temple outside of Golconda. So, when they want to, who can you preach to more effectively? Somebody who's fresh off the boat from India and just raring to go, ready to break every rule. They always go to Las Vegas, that and also Niagara Falls. You have to go to these places when you first come from India. So can you preach to a person who's coming out of a bar? No, because he's intoxicated. You can't get through to him. But what about the person who's trying to get in? Can you preach to him? No, because he's hot to trot. What can you do? You see? This is how Maya works. Americans are like the ones coming out of the bar, and the Indians are like the ones going into the bar. So it's very tough to preach to either one of them. One of them's already lost his samskaras, the other one just, you know, can't think of anything else. So that's why I say he's got some big plan, because he's giving out all these visas, and then they come to America, and only then can they join ISKCON. In India, it's impossible. Because of family, because of job, because of so many things. So he's got some plan. He's chasing us down. Anu adhavat. That's a long-winded answer. Is it, are you satisfying your question? All right, anything else? Krishna Kripa.
Just said I'm on very, very miserable commute from a job. I was coming back into the neighborhood, hanging traffic everywhere, and then there was this car next to me with a bumper sticker that said, just remember, the important things in life aren't things. And I thought, okay, I'm going to the wrong place. I've got to get out of this city.
Yeah.
There's no item here in this material world that's the value.
Yeah, that's why we chase one after another, after another, after another, after another. I heard on that. Adi, adi, adi. It's limitless. Dushpuri inanalinacha. There'll be no end to it. You wanted to add something? Somebody was raising their hand over here? Yeah. In the sense that they're not sensual, yeah. Well, who's to decide? Everything is illusory in this world. Once you leave the yoga maya, everything's illusion. So, you know, it's arbitrary to say whether a dream is an illusion and Jagatna state is not an illusion. They're actually, it's all illusion. That's why it's called Maya. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. Okay. All right, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.